Does character really matter? Or does getting things done and charisma matter more? What is character? Webster says that character is one of those attributes or features that make up or distinguish you and I for who we are. It's kind of like an aggregate of the distinctive qualities that show who you and I are. These can be a collection of mental or ethical traits making you who you are, and the character that makes up and individualizes you as a person. It can also be the character of you and I as a nation, such as the character of the American people. It can be as simple as our behavior. It's kind of like it's what distinguishes us as us. Character is the inner form that makes you and I who we are. It's the essential stuff we're made up of. The inner reality in which our thoughts, our speech, our decisions, our behavior, and our relations are rooted in. Centuries ago, Jesus observed that attitudes, thoughts, and actions come from the heart. Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, verses 14 through 23, as he had called the crowd to him again, it says he began to say to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside the man which can defile him if it goes into him, but the things which proceed out of the man are what defiles the man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." It goes on to say that when he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples questioned him about the parable. And he said to them, "Are you so lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that whatever goes into the man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach, and is eliminated? Thus he declared all foods clean." And he was saying, that which proceeds out of the mouth, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deeds of deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. You see, what is in my heart is my character today. It's who I am. Long before the Lord Jesus taught his disciples, Solomon noted by the wisdom and inspiration that God had given him through the Holy Spirit in Proverbs 4:23, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." In other words, when we guard our hearts, we're guarding who we are. We're working on our character. We're working on who we want to be. James wrote in James chapter 4, verse 17, "Therefore to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin." James was saying someone who is well-intentioned but who, knowing God's word and expectations, fails to follow through with the direction and instructions of the Lord, this person is considered irresponsible. Someone who behaves well outwardly, but who inwardly is resentful, lustful, selfish, or proud, this person is described by the Lord as a hypocrite. Listen to what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23, verses 25 through 28. He said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish, so that the outside of it may also become clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. So you, too, outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. We learn from the Lord's prophet Ezekiel that character is simply something that we don't inherit. It is never inherited. Ezekiel wrote in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20, "The person who sins will die. The son will not bear the punishment for the father's iniquity, nor will the father bear the punishment of his son's iniquity. The righteousness of the righteous will be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked will be upon himself." Friends, sin is not something that grows on us like a weed. It has to be formed. It has to be cultivated. So who is the real you and me? Character is not simply an image. And character is not the careful packaging and selling of ourselves to look better than we really are. Sadly, we live in a society where this attitude is seen far too often. That attitude that tells us to fake it or to ignore the facts or to project an image to the public, but certainly don't ever let them see who the real you is. Honestly, the real you and me is seen in our consistency. A person's core character is best seen in what they reveal or show consistently, rather than in a single statement or a random act. Some have called this the habits of the heart. Others have said it is a long obedience in the same direction. Simply stated, what we do most of the time is our true character. The scriptures revealed to us about that importance. In Titus chapter 1, verses 15 through 16, Paul wrote, "To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their mind and their conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed." The Apostle John wrote in 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, "Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil is sinned from the beginning." Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits." So what directs us in our character? Are we directed by others? This is where we do things because of peer pressure. For example, today, this is oftentimes what many of our children are affected by, a group of their peers, peer pressure. Sometimes the peer group thing becomes more important to our children than the wisdom being provided by their parents. And for adults today, sometimes it's more important to us what others think than for us to listen to the wisdom of God. This is simply where following the crowd, where fitting in, where being liked and being popular, this becomes far more important to us than what is right and true. Jesus spoke of the Pharisees who were like this. He said in Matthew chapter 23, verses 5 through 7, "But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments. They love the place of honor at the banquets and the chief seats in the synagogues, and respectful greetings in the marketplace, and being called rabbi by men." Or are we pleasure-directed? Do we tell ourselves, "I'm going to do what's comfortable and enjoyable to me for this time," rather than doing what we know is right? Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, "Brethren, join in the following my example, and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things." Or are we self-directed? In other words, are we the type of people that says, "What I want is what is most important. It's what comes first. God's got to take a second place to the things that I want to do." And when we're like this, we have that arrogant attitude that where we'll pick up and choose when we want to put God first and when I want to put me first. I take God when I know I'm to put him first, and I put myself in that position, and I put God in the second, and really what becomes the third and the fourth seat in my life. Instead of working through his will, the Lord must work around my will. Or are we God-directed? Do we direct our lives? Do we have the character that says, "I'm going to do the right thing in every circumstance and in every situation, no matter what the cost may be to my personal enjoyment. My goal is righteousness and not personal satisfaction or gratification." Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 26, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will be saved. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory, and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." We must guard against the erosion of our character. We must guard against the attitudes that say getting ahead is more important than getting it right the first time. The kind of attitude that we think God shouldn't expect me to make any real sacrifices in my life, but only token ones, ones that don't take any decision of what is right or wrong according to God and his word. Those kinds of attitudes when we admire celebrities instead of real heroes. The attitude that the only thing that really matters is what people see me do in public, that I can do whatever I want when they're not looking. The kind of attitude that having a Bible study, that kind of thing, when we study the Bible, when we study his words, and we listen to his words, but we begin to twist in order to defend my excuses to sin. And what about the character of good Christian parents? Not the attitude that if we don't let our kids have their own way, then they can make things really difficult for our lives and theirs. We must guard against the careless attitude that causes us to think that we deserve to be happy all the time by my standards. That attitude that says I'm special, that I'm special more and I'm more important than anybody else. We've got to guard against the attitude that causes us to come up with these clever exceptions to the Lord's teaching. The attitude that when we study a verse, we think, what is the least that this verse tells me to do? The danger in this kind of character is that all these things can happen, and we can lose sight that this erosion is actually happening to us. We must build a strong foundation of Christian character. When we begin our life for the Lord, we must have deep and lasting changes. Not character that just says, I'm good now and not worried about the future. And not a character that is just a burst of energy in the right direction for a short period of time. No matter what the situation may be that we face, we must have the attitude, the long-lasting character that says, I'm the same godly person just like I read about in the scriptures, just like old Joseph and Daniel and Esther. It's what Jesus spoke about when he said in Luke chapter 8, verse 15, the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. We must have a character that demonstrates moral accountability. We must realize that God always sees what I'm doing. God always knows what we're thinking. We must live every day with this kind of awareness, and we must reject the foolishness of thinking that there are times when no one sees me. David spoke of this worldly attitude over in Psalms 94, verse 7, where he said, they have said, the Lord does not see me, nor does the God of Jacob pay heed. For you and I, we must be that person of character who wants God to search us all the time so that he can, through his word, help us to root out any and every sin in our lives. You and I must be ready to deal with sin. We should have the attitude that none of us wants to remain in rebellion and in sin towards God. We must have no desire to be involved in anything that's evil. The person of godly character doesn't want to conveniently run into temptation, but rather they want to stay as far away from it as they can. When Jesus taught his disciples about prayer, one of the things that he directed them to pray for was, "Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil." This is the type of character that says no to bad habits that threaten to enslave us in sin. There was an author who once wrote, there are two kinds of people in the end. Those who say to God, thy will be done. And those to whom God will say in the end, thy will be done. God will give us the reward that we've worked for through our lives. All that are in heaven and hell will have chosen those ways for themselves. Which brings us to the next point. Making my will, making my wants second to God. It's the character that instead of being pushed or forced to serve God, I intelligently count the cost and I voluntarily lay down my own will and at the same time pick up the cross and follow Christ. Jesus spoke of that character to his disciples, and he said in Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 33, now large crowds were going along with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter one coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other one is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So then, none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions. This type of character is more than just doing the type of things we do, whether or not we became a Christian. This type of character is more than just choosing to abstain from things that don't tempt me. This is the type of character that is doing without things that are most appealing to me when I know God tells me to reject them. And having that character that shows you and I doing those things that may be most difficult to do, but we know that we need to do them because God tells us so. This is living the life God planned for me, rather than living the life that I had planned for myself. Remember the Apostle Paul's words in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." We must have the character that is willing to wait for the promised reward. The type of character that knows we don't have to be immediately rewarded to do the right thing. That character of the Christian, where we're willing to wait for the final reward from the Lord himself. I want you to consider this morning's lesson. And I want you to consider it and ask yourself the question, have you obeyed the gospel, and have you given yourself to the Lord? Hannah made that decision yesterday, and we were so rejoicing. Aubrey made that decision just a couple of months ago. Stephen made that decision just a couple of years ago. Every one of us who are Christians made that decision to obey the gospel of the Lord. Every one of us who will be saved must come to the Lord in obedience. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? If so, are you willing to repent, confess, and be buried with him in baptism so that you might put on Christ? Jesus simply says to all this morning, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Ask yourself, are you willing to come to him? Today we ask that question, where are we? Sometimes along the way of life, sometimes we stumble and we fall. If you've stumbled and fallen, go to the Lord in prayer. Ask him for forgiveness and trust in the relationship where you obeyed him. If you feel that you need prayers of the congregation, your brothers and sisters here, to help you in that effort, we have the opportunity to do that by the admonition that James gave in James chapter 5, verse 16, where the inspired writer encourages us all this morning by saying, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." Consider the Lord's invitation, and we pray that you will respond as together we stand and sing.